another week of Casa Time with me, Mike, and Nana. Nana, how are you?
I'm good, Michael, I'm good.
Ah.
I'm off again, you know.
Yeah.
This time, where am I?
You do a lot of business abroad, don't you? It's a lot. Damn, make that money, girl, make that money.
Yeah, live that jet set lifestyle, you
yep,
know.
Yep.
Nana. Sports always stamped.
Innit? Oh my god. Get them stamps. How you been?
I've been cool. Had a good week.
Good.
Yeah, how was yours?
Long. It's to me, it's the last week, so hey, until Easter holidays, so I can't complain.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, first day and I'm done, so it's just really
just
pushing through now and getting it all done. Apart from that, yeah, it's been a great week.
Fantastic.
But yeah, I'm so tired right now because I've just come back from tutoring, because I tutor these kids near my workplace, and it's draining because I'm a secondary school teacher and they do any primary school kids, so it's a different experience. It's like,
it's practice for when you have your children. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. It's practice for
how to handle the younger ones. You know.
Yeah.
A lot of patience.
Yeah, you do have a lot of patience. But I think the thing is, the mum is the disciplinarian and the dad's the soft one. But I think their mum is probably not as hard as she probably actually could be. Not like the thing is that they're lovely kids. They're not bad kids. Actually, good, very good, well behaved kids. So she's not like, I guess you don't need to be shouty all the time with kids sometimes. But they are kind of like all over the place, and I don't know if that's just their age, or like, and when I say all over the place, I mean kind of like they want to just get up, and like they're doing work. Their mum will come because let's say the kitchen is she's going to the kitchen, so she'll go part into the living room where we're working into the kitchen, and then one of the kids will just be working, and they'll stop and just walk into the kitchen, and be like, "Mum, what are we eating tonight?" And it's like halfway through the tutor, and they're like, "What the hell are you doing? Sit down and do the work." Do you know what I mean? Like, just random. Yeah, one's like 7 or 8, so one's like 9, and the other one's like 10-ish, 10, going on 11. So they were like, they're very, I don't know, they're all over the place, like I said. But they're lovely kids. They're really, I would say, like, personality-wise, they're really nice kids. Like, I really like them. They're like, personality-wise, they're really nice, but they are a bit of a handful.
Like most children.
But yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So apart from, I'm mentally exhausted, really and truly, to tell people to sit down, and do the work, and sit down again, and do the work again. Yeah. But yeah. Anything in the news you would like to talk about?
In the news.
Yeah, only thing you've seen, not in the news really, anywhere, like current affairs or anything going on that you'd like to talk about.
I actually got a WhatsApp yesterday, and it said that there was going to be a terrorist attack today.
What?
Yeah.
Did it tell what? Any other details?
No, they just basically said that all the police had been called into work from 4 a.m. onwards, and that something was going to go down in the West End area. So, and like, to the point where people who were on holiday have been told to take the first flight back home. But I haven't turned on the news today, but I think I would have heard if something could happen somewhere.
No, there has been a terrorist attack in Brussels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 34 people dead. You not hear it?
Today,
yeah.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah.
I haven't really turned on my TV today.
An airport in Brussels, yeah. There's been terrorists. Sadly enough, 34 people are dead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's deep.
God, who are you getting your WhatsApp messages from?
No, that should be laughing, but wow, I was just going to talk about how all these stupid WhatsApp messages are. You know, people just—they just like to scare people. You know, but shit's
something
real.
Went, well,
yeah.
It was a wrong location, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I think it was at airport. So boy. take that what you will. But yeah, this is the terrorist attack, 34 people dead. I think about 200 injured or something like that. Crazy. Really sad. Yeah. Worrying times. Yeah.
What is the end goal though? To blow in all, I'm assuming it was a bomb.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. What is the end goal? Just to
chaos, I think.
Chaos.
I think that these people are like, it's, I guess it's kind of they're fighting back because they feel their country, the West, is bombing their countries and starting wars in their countries, so they're fighting back. But yeah. Killing people either way is wrong. But yeah, more cheery. Let's go to more cheery news. Because, okay, you know, that doesn't... We don't want to bring the whole mood of the podcast down. But yeah. You want to talk about OJ?
Well, you haven't watched it, so, you know, that's why I didn't bring it up.
Well, I've watched 4 episodes of it. I haven't watched the 5th episode. So what, should I, what, tell you where I'm at and say, you know, no spoilers or what? To be honest, what really can be a spoiler? Because we know what happens at the end anyway. But
yeah, but I don't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah. How many episodes have you watched?
I've watched, I don't know how many, I think it's 5 that's been on TV so far.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm not watching it online for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm actually just being like everybody else and watching it as it comes on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, but hurry up and watch it because it was a good episode.
Yeah, I like the show. The show is wicked. Mm-hmm. The show is really, really well done. Keep it good.
It is very well done. The one that I watched was so well done that I actually went to YouTube and watched videos on Marsha Clark.
Oh, really?
Just to see the real version, because the actress is so, she plays the part so well. I wanted to know if she really liked this. And they actually have footage of the trial on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure they would, yeah. You know, the first major televised, like, kind of trial.
But that's weird. Like, who determines if a trial will be, like, put on TV?
Well, in America, I think a lot of trials will be recorded. I think, like, the majority of trials are probably recorded. But, like, that one, like, there probably would have been a bidding war for that one on TV.
No, it was literally on TV 24/7.
Mm. Yep.
You know, like, the TV networks would clear the schedule. Yeah, they just
interrupt football games just for the trial, yeah. Because OJ was, you know, he was basically David Beckham plus 10 out there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I know. But yeah, it's very interesting. I just say the whole, like, you, we know the story, but you don't know. It's obviously where we get value from watching the show. Where I get value from watching the show is kind of the journey, and the journey is very, very interesting because it's. They're not accusing anyone of anything or doing anything like that. They're just kind of just showing everything, like showing incompetence on both sides and showing things on both sides, showing the realness of, like, the manipulation, like, kind of seeing, trying to guess how the jury would think and how the law is. It's more about what you show rather than the truth. It's more of a show rather than the actual truth, which is very, very interesting. But yeah. Just in case you didn't know that, but
thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, but yeah, it's, I like it. I like it a lot. Anything else you want to add to that?
No.
Okay. So Nana, I spoke to Anna earlier about this week about a topic that was very interesting. I read in a book about something called moral licensing. Now, the book was saying that, okay, scientists have dubbed this syndrome moral licensing when we, we have a goal or we have something, we want to be disciplined or consistent in something, and we, let's say we fail at that, you know, we're really good for long periods of time, and then reward ourselves for being good for long periods of time by being bad. So, i.e., oh, I've, you know, eaten so well for 2 weeks, let me have a burger, or, you know, let me go have some chicken and chips, or whatever. You know what I mean? I can be bad because I've been good for 2 weeks, or yeah, I have been consistently, oh, I've consistently been good in cleaning my, you know, cleaning up after myself. Oh, I can relax a bit rather than being consistent. And how, and the book was saying how the that moralizing kind of messes our overall goals and things like that. And it made me kind of think about just goals in general, when we have goals in life, and the argument for is, and what is moral licensing from? Why do we feel the need to reward ourselves? Why do we need to set, like, it's good to be good, not good, not, I'm not saying good as in, oh, morally good or whatever, good to do what we have to do or what we want to do, but in terms of getting to our goals, it's good to be consistent with them, but why do we always feel the need to reward ourselves? And it brings me on to a kind of bigger debate about, are humans, are we're like, as humans, we're like kind of addicted to instant gratification versus like actually, you know, consistently just doing the things we need to do to get to our higher goals in life. So yeah, I wanted to talk about that just a little, okay. Just a little bit of that. But yeah, and I go on, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, I do that, so I thought that was normal. Is that not a normal thing to do? Like, maybe you've done something that you consider to be good for a period of time, and you think, okay, well, I can take a break, but I'll get back on it tomorrow. Is that all you suggest, to just
no.
to keep doing it, and never take a break?
Well, again, like, I feel, from what the book was saying, we obviously have a tendency to try and reward ourselves. We want instant gratification. We want to feel good about what we're doing, or how, and it's a kind of a false fallacy, or whatever you want to call it. It's a bad thing, because it's actually pulling us backwards. And the reason why is because we are giving ourselves permission to fall off, and we don't have, saying that we're going to have the willpower to take those little dips, dip in and dip out of things, rather than being consistent, because consistency is always going to breed more consistency. So saying that you have the willpower to be inconsistent for a period of time and then re-consistent again is very important, too much respect or onus in your future self, because you're building something. Do you see what I mean? You're gradually building something, and you're putting too much responsibility on this future person to be strong enough to say, okay, I'm going to go back onto the good thing, the good track. So yeah, it's just I found it very, very, very interesting. Like, so in terms of, okay, more like, you're rewarding yourself, yeah, and for, I don't know, being good, eating well, or doing blah blah, doing this and then that. Do you feel bad after you've rewarded yourself, or do you just feel like, and is that the problem? We don't feel bad. It's because normally if you're doing something really well and you haven't done it for a long time, but you dip out and in, you feel bad about it. But if you morally, like, normally moral licensing comes from, like, you've sustained it for a bit of time, maybe even a month, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, like, quite more of a longer time. And you feel actually good about yourself, and that kind of makes you feel even better about yourself.
Well, when you do something better.
Yeah. So, is it just that we just always need to feel good about ourselves? Is that it? And,
well, nobody wants to feel bad about themselves.
But do we always need to feel good about ourselves?
Well, is that a bad thing? I don't think we have to always feel good about ourselves, but I think it comes down to balance. Like, say, for instance, exercise, yeah? Say you decide, I'm going to go hard for 4 days a week, and then 3 days I'm going to rest, yeah? But to me, that's balance. Do you see what I'm saying? You're taking a break. You don't, because you decided to go hard, for 4 days, your body can't keep up with you going hard 7 days a week. Do you see what I mean? Mm. But if you said, oh, I'm going to do something not as taxing every day, then you wouldn't really feel the need to have a break.
Mm.
Because you're not really going as hard as you would if you were to just do it 4 days a week. So maybe that's what it is.
You're going too hard.
You're going too hard. So then you get to a point where you feel like you need a break.
Mm.
If you maybe start off gradually and build yourself up gradually, you won't feel the need to have that break. Or
fair enough.
I say, for instance, if you're eating and you've been eating McDonald's like for the past 35 years, and then you decide, oh, I'm going to just cut everything out and just eat grass. Maybe not grass, but like salad and, you know, juicing and all that. Your body's not used to that. So you could do it for 2 weeks, but it's going to want what it knows.
Mm.
See what I mean? So then you're going to revert back to what you used to have. Mm. And then you might feel bad, or you might feel, well, boy, I juiced for 2 weeks. So I'm not going to dwell on this one, you know, glitch, or this one blip on, you know, my clean slate, or not slate, streak.
Absolutely, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And sometimes I feel like the body, like obviously we should separate the body and the mind. And I feel like the mind is very powerful in playing tricks on us, not even playing tricks, controlling us, and. When it says I can't, you probably, it's very hard to say I can. So, in terms of even, like, cravings and stuff like that, I need to do blah, blah, blah. Obviously, you know, if you don't have a Krispy Kreme donut, that's the nicest thing I can think of right now, or I don't know, your body's not gonna, you're not gonna melt or die, or, you know, obviously not that extreme, but you're not gonna, you can survive without that, but...
Your body's not gonna melt.
But, like... Sometimes I feel like the body's releasing certain, like, apparently it is technically endorphins into your bloodstream to make you crave or want those things and stuff. It's such a powerful thing that, and for you to say no, or as I said the other week, to you to breathe slower, to control your body, and even like when you're exercising, and this is what I learned this quite a long time ago, where you feel like when your body says stop, no, that's not your body, that's actually your brain. Your body can actually go a lot further than your brain, because your body can take a lot more than your brain. But your brain sends signals to the nerves that actually kind of fools you. So, because sometimes when you're working hard and you're in pain, and it's like, that's enough, I've had enough, and like, you stop, then you realise about 10 minutes, like, I'm fine, I'm alright, actually. Have you ever done, has that ever happened to you or not?
Yeah.
So, like, you're basically, your bare brain has told your nerves and your muscles and your body that, yes, this is too much. And then but your body, it's not too much. Because obviously, when you stop that, the nerves are fine. So the mind can't play those tricks on you anymore. So in terms of breaking down, it's very interesting. I just feel, to kind of, as humans, we have to kind of be aware of our own consciousness. You see what I'm saying? Beware of our minds and the way it plays tricks on us and tells us things we can't do and tells us, you know, controls us. The body doesn't know. The body is in there. It's like kind of like, it's almost like it just does its own thing. You can push it and push it and push it and push it. The thing that will tell it to stop is your mind, and it will release stuff into it. So it's interesting. We're you know, being consistent with something and trying to. I feel like obviously. Maybe before you started to try and just make this decision on being consistent or being achieving a goal, maybe it's all about maybe getting your mind right. So maybe making, like, and Judgeline says this beautiful things. Like, she names, I read this book from the lady who does divorce court. I know, I love her, Judgeline. She names, because she's a bit mad, she names the monsters in her head that make her feel fear the world, who make her feel like she can't do anything. The way she's like, you know, she names them as the beast in her mind. And the beast is telling her things, and she knows, she's aware of the beast. She's like, in my marriage, the beast exists. Sometimes in periods of my life where I feel depressed, the beast comes out, blah, blah, blah. Naming that thing and being aware of it. So imagine, like, I thought that's kind of a powerful, really good technique. Being aware of the your mind telling you no, or telling you, you know, go, you know, you need this to eat, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. You see what I'm saying?
No, I completely understand what you're saying. Like, sometimes I feel like your mind is your enemy.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It's your ego, really. It's not your mind. It's your ego that's telling you. Because your ego likes to be comfortable. It likes to be in control. So when you put yourself in a position where it's no longer in control, it doesn't like it. So it's trying to push you back to what's comfortable. You know, where it doesn't have to do any work.
Yeah.
Where it can just coast, you know?
It's naturally rebellious, isn't it? It's naturally... Yeah, it's like... Something, especially particularly something like routine, like you're telling you must do something every single day. You have no choice, like, and it's like no, fuck off. I have a choice. Your mind's like, I have a choice. Of course, I don't have to fucking do this. I can go out. You know, I can do whatever I want. Go take a beer. I can watch TV for 10 hours and do nothing. While you know, your body's just there. Your body will just get if you get up and you get on the bus or you drive or whatever you do. You walk somewhere. You run somewhere. Your body just goes along with you. But it's the mind that's obviously. Putting you down, then you can't do it and stuff like that.
Do you think that, say, like people who are successful, their mind, they've trained their mind to be their friend rather than be their enemy?
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. I feel also, you can also train your mind to. No, not even train your mind. You can be aware of your mind, which is. I think, like. There's two ways of doing it. You can train your mind, probably. I couldn't tell you that, but I feel like reading from that book I read with Judge Lynn, I think you can be aware of your mind and be aware of exactly what it does. Oh, when I go near this thing, it forces me to go and eat that. Oh, when I do this, when I sit down and I'm on my tablet, I'm not gonna do any workouts today. Because my mind told me, you know, I'm in relaxed mode, I'm taking a break today. When I do this, like, be aware of the things it does and says, because it doesn't necessarily work with you. And I'm sure that, but, yeah, I'm sure some people who have trained, as you say, have trained it to work with you, but I'm sure most of the time it doesn't work with you. It's actually working against you. Yo, I just... Brain orgasm.
Mental orgasm.
We have to have a jingle for mental orgasms, innit?
Yeah.
We just record you say mental orgasm.
Orgasm. Yeah.
There's thought about that. So our minds are not with us. They're not our friends. I know you say it's ego. Yeah. You can call it whatever you want. Ego. Yeah. They're not with us. They're not our friends in all situations or circumstances. You would think it was. But not necessarily, is your friend.
But I wonder, is your mind formulated in your youth? So if you were like had negative things thrown at you as a child, and that became part of who you are, as when you now grow up as an adult, you still hear those negative things like, "Oh, you can't do that."
Absolutely.
You know, you're not smart enough. So you've now taken those in, absorbed them, made them your truth. So now is when you go and you're trying to tackle something, you hear those things in your mind. So is it a case of if maybe when you're a child and you'd always heard positive things, like, oh, you know, try your hardest and you'll always be able to achieve what you want. You know, you're smart, you're this, you're that. Or is it you is good, you is kind, whatever. You're emboldened. Do you know what I mean? Like, so then when you now tackle something, you hear those things in your mind. So you always feel like, yeah, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely, I 100% agree with you. Like, when you're born, your mind's a blank slate. What the fuck do you know? You're just learning and absorbing everything.
Exactly.
You're literally just absorbing everything. If you're told to be frightened of everything, like, Judge Lynn, in her book, the beast is, like, scared. She worries about everything. The beast is worried about everything. The beast, when she was a kid, she says the beast made her hide in her cupboard for a whole day. You know? Because you think about it, her schizophrenic dad would come home, sometimes, like, brandishing a gun because the mum hadn't, you know, ironed his shirt or something, or he couldn't find his keys, so he smashed a window. He was a monster. So if you've lived in a house, even though a comfortable middle class upbringing, you've lived in a house, you know, a peaceful, you know, no, not a peaceful, sorry, opposite of peaceful, quite a volatile and scary house, of course you're going to think the world is scary. Of course your mind is going to tell you, you know, there are people like this all over the place and you're weird. And you had to such a weird upbringing where everyone else had normal upbringing. Yeah, you know, your mind is not your friend. That's crazy. Just think about that. That's crazy. I know people are like, yeah, I get what you mean. But think about how crazy it is. Your mind, you think, in life is your biggest ally. You would think. But no, it's not in all cases. Not all the time. It is, but not all the time.
It could be in prison.
It could be an enemy. It could be an enemy.
In most cases,
self-doubt, self-pity, lack of self-worth, you know, it could be, wow.
Like, forget everybody outside, people beat themselves up more than anybody else could beat themselves up, you see what I mean? Also beat them up, and it's constant, you can't turn it off, bro.
Yep.
You can't turn it off.
And
it's always there, everything you do is telling you ain't shit.
I swear that thought comes, like, this comes across, like, most problems we have in life. Like, think about it, the body is just the body. The body will just do anything you want.
The body is just the body.
But you know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't, like, it just follows the instructions.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. Yeah. It does not have, it's not cognizant or whatever the word is.
Mm.
It does not do anything. It's like,
no.
It's like, it just does what it does. It's so your, it's mind.
Like a robot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's your mind that is like. And if imagine, but I feel like your mind and your consciousness are slightly different. I don't know how to explain it, but like, okay, maybe we should use the ego and your consciousness. Maybe probably that's a better analogy. But like, because we are aware of the things our mind does sometimes. Like some people, maybe not all people are, but like if you're quite self-reflective and you're aware that your mind tends to worry, or your mind tends to think the apocalypse is going to be tomorrow, or your mind tends to think that you're going to die from this, you know, next week, or or all these kind of negative thoughts, or you're worthless, or you're blah blah blah. What's telling you? How are you aware of that?
It's things that you've heard or seen, you know.
But how are you aware of what your mind says to you? Like, I'm sure. You know, do you ever have to quiet your mind? And if so, how do you know that your mind is telling you that? Because what is telling you that your mind is telling you stupid things?
What? I don't get what you're saying. Can't you hear your mind?
Yeah, I know. But what is hearing your mind? I know it's your consciousness, isn't it? Your consciousness. It's different from your brain. Like, you don't think those thoughts. Like, it's so complicated. I feel this is like Inception. It's like,
it's a dream within a dream.
But think about it. Your consciousness. Your consciousness knows, I'm here, I'm a human being, I'm on this planet, blah blah blah, I exist, blah blah blah, I'm trying to figure out the meaning of my life, whatever, blah blah blah, or I know the meaning of my life, and blah blah blah. That's your consciousness, isn't it? And your mind is thinking of things, oh, maybe this person treated me badly because I'm a piece of shit, or this, you know, maybe throwing these bad thoughts, or I can't do this, or you can't do that. How are you aware of those things as a self-reflective person? How are we aware of those negative thoughts? It's conscious, isn't it? Our conscience. So surely it should be different from our mind. It's not the same thing, isn't it? Or your mind can think by itself that it's doing things.
You've lost me, mate.
Don't worry.
Come back, regroup it, and come
it's
back.
Crazy. It's crazy. I think this is too long to. Some people out there might understand what I'm saying, but it's too. You know, that thought was too crazy to kind of comprehend. Like, I'm just trying to separate the consciousness from the mind.
Okay.
Yeah? You being conscious and aware of your mind. But how are you conscious and aware of your mind? How is that possible? Because your mind is the thinking thing. So how am I aware that my mind is playing tricks on me, or my mind is thinking in different ways than I wanted to think? Or it's telling me, how am I aware of that? What is making me aware of that?
So maybe they're two different entities, like your consciousness is there and you're watching your mind. fake stuff.
Is that like this left side of the brain and the right side of the brain and shit like that?
No, no, no. Like, I feel like your mind is your physical, you know, manifestation on this earth. But maybe your conscious is like a spiritual thing, like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's on another level. So it's kind of like maybe it's looking down at you on this planet, you know, and seeing what you're thinking.
What if your consciousness can do anything, but your mind is what's, as you said, the prism. The mind is a prism.
Yeah, of course.
Your consciousness can do anything, can freaking fly to Mars, but your mind is like pulling you back down. You ain't shit.
Yeah. because think about it, like, I think that we were something before we were born. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
Like, we were somewhere, and we decided that we wanted to come back to Earth and do stuff on Earth to better our spiritual, you know, our spirits, you know, so they can transcend and do, I don't know, all of that stuff. But you see what I'm trying to say? So
yeah,
maybe you can do whatever you want. You could, if you wanted to fly to the moon, you could do that. But once you're here, you're limited by, you know, space and time and matter. So that your consciousness is watching you, you know, while your mind is, maybe your mind is what controls you here, you know, but your consciousness is there overall. But it's, I don't know, bro. I don't know. It is mind-boggling. Trying to understand it, especially when it's something that isn't really spoken about or taught in school, you know, for you to be able to know, oh, this is this and that is that. If you hear, because even where do these thoughts come from?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's what I'm thinking.
You know?
Well, I, like, I'm thinking those thoughts are coming from your experiences, your past experiences. If you think you're not good enough or whatever, someone's told you, or you maybe you did stuff in school and your teacher was like, could do better, you know, this is rubbish, or whatever. Like, you know, and then you're conditioned to think that way, but you're, like, maybe some people, maybe the people that aren't self-reflective are just purely in their minds. And they're not using their consciousness. They're not, or they're ignoring their consciousness. They're just using their mind. Or
they're not even aware they have it.
Yeah.
They just think that they're all mind. They're you know,
they're all mind. Can you imagine? Yeah. Every thought, everything is just your mind. That's crazy. There's people, there probably are people out there who are thinking that it's just like mind.
Yeah, those people are the ones that you just see plodding along every day, just not really contemplating life or wondering why they're here, those kind of questions that have you sitting down and, you know, just exploring your own self, you know, like in, exploring your own
shut up and go to the pub.
Put on EastEnders, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See what Phil's up to. Yeah, I'd rather do that than go inside and start, you know, unpicking shit and
this reminds me of
and seeing what's in there.
That's something funny. I bumped into, yesterday I was at Tesco and I bumped into someone who used to work, two people actually, who used to work at a place me and Nana used to work at that shall not be made, named or mentioned.
Who did you see?
I saw a couple of, you know, I don't know if you know, Chris Spencer?
Chris Spencer. Did he have a brother, a younger brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him. That typical,
And then it was, but I was talking to them like, oh yeah, blah blah blah, you guys have, you know, and like, oh, they've left, and then like, but their mom's still there, and
remember the whole family worked.
I know, and the worst thing about it, they're like, oh, she's trying to leave, but it's really hard out there, and I was like, it's still hard since we left in 2009, like how is it still hard, like. Because I know, I don't know this, I feel like when you're in a certain world, you don't have to think unless you step out. Like, all I know is, listen, since you've been at that place, like, several people have moved several different jobs. Don't try and tell me it's that hard. Like, I know it was hard at the time, but surely, are we still in the credit crunch? I don't know. You tell. I don't know, man.
Like, I just think it's stuff that you tell yourself, so you don't actually have to.
Exactly. Really work. And you kind of need to step out of that kind of place, in order, and that consciousness. So imagine the people who are successful have stepped out and are fully integrated in their consciousness, not their minds.
Exactly.
Can you imagine? They could like be, they're thinking, I'm going to be a rocket scientist this next year. So like, just crazy that the only, the mind doesn't exist, just the conscious. Can you imagine if you live life thinking the mind doesn't exist, only your consciousness? Because in theory, that is the truth, because the mind is all construct. I was just saying, because the mind is all throwing shit that's been constructed through environmental experiences. And really, truly, those environmental experiences come and go. They don't really exist. They change. Mm-hmm. The environments change. Mm-hmm. And you've, but all you've done is taken all this negative crap from those environments. And instead of you to say,
it's not you, and say,
the consciousness and my soul of my consciousness is me. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking like, deep, bro.
I was
saying,
I was talking to my partner, and I was basically talking about my friends, and I was saying that I feel like my friends generally, they're really good people. Like, I can see that they're good people, but I envision them as, like, a ball of light. And they've got, like, crap, literal crap, just, like, packed on top of it. You know, but I can see through the crap, and I can see the light shining through the crap. So what if?
Yeah, I agreed. I feel the same way about my friends.
Yeah,
absolutely. I thought because. So, sorry, go on.
No, so what if your consciousness is that light?
Yeah, yeah, it
all
is.
All of the stuff that you've been told by your parents, by your teachers, by your friends, by the media, by whoever, is that crap that's on top. So when you do certain things, it's the crap that's making you do it. Certain times when you do certain things, it's your consciousness that's coming through the crap, you know? So maybe by you being self-reflective, it's taking off that crap layer by layer, scraping it off until you're fully rid of it, and your consciousness is just, you're working through that. Like, everything but you do,
imagine if you
the crap.
It's like, I know you're saying layer by layer, but it's almost like, all you have to do, and it sounds easy, but it must be the hardest thing in the world. And obviously, you're saying, and you're the more experienced counselor in this situation, so you can tell me, you know, it is hard, the whole process. But surely, like, all you have to do is kind of step out of your mind and step into your consciousness. Like, your mind doesn't exist, your consciousness does.
Yeah, no, if it was that easy, everybody would do it.
But I feel like people don't know that.
Yeah, well, they're not aware of it, but even if you are, it's not that easy.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Trust me.
Okay. No. That's the whole point. That's why I'm like, you're the one experienced one here. You tell me. Fair enough. Cool. But yeah, that is fucking crazy. Don't you think that's fucking deep? Like, that's crazy. And that only came to me now.
It's because the crap is like bloody limestone. You've got to chisel that shit away. Do you know, it's hard because it's years worth of crap that has been packed on you. Do you understand? It's not something that you can just wipe away. It's hard, and you've got to work for it bit by bit. Just when you thought that you've got to, something else comes up. Do you see what I mean?
So you work
through that, and then something else you didn't even know
was there.
See, and then. Yeah, it's there. It's not just, oh yeah, let me just step out.
No. I feel like you could do that for temporary, but I guess long term you're definitely gonna have to remove the crap. Shit, like yeah. Shit, literally shit.
It is shit. It's crap.
Fucking hell. That's such a, I don't know. Cause I wanted to go on about like how we are all addicted to, you know, instant gratification, and we're not. And we're quite, it's against your human nature to try and strive for long-term goals. So, for instance, like, he was saying, the guy I was reading this book from, he was saying, let's say I gave you a check for £100. No, I was going to give you a check for £100 now, or £200. Or I gave you a check for £100, and I say, oh, here's £200, I'll buy that check off you. You'd take that deal. That's, obviously, that would be, you'd be stupid not to take that deal. If I said, okay, here's £100 now, I'm going to give you £200 in about 2 months. If you sell me that check for £100, you might have second thoughts because you're not 100% sure that £200 is not guaranteed, but that £100 right now is guaranteed in your hands. So you might just say, no, bun that, I want the £100. So it's kind of like that instant gratification and stuff like that. And that's like kind of like our mind kind of like, rah, oh, I've got these Jordans for this. I've already bought these Jordans. Like, you've already spent that money in your mind. Whereas your consciousness can say, it's money, and but imagine the potential of me doing more with that money in 2 months' time. I could do a lot more with that money, and what, you know, long term, £200 in my bank account is way more worth more than this £100 right now.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes feel like we don't believe in ourselves. Mm. Like we like, I've realized with myself that I always say, oh, I want to have this now, because I can't imagine that I could have it in the future.
Okay.
So I have to have it now. You see what I mean? Whereas I've, like, now I'm starting to realize, you know what? It is something that is possible. I don't have to have it now. I can have it in the future. So I don't have to stress myself now if it doesn't work out.
Hmm. And is that, would you say that was your consciousness telling you that? Or you're listening more to your consciousness?
Yeah.
Hmm, telling you that.
Like, don't limit yourself and feel that, oh, I don't know.
Well, your consciousness, think about the world perspective of your consciousness. Your consciousness knows your mind is just saying shit, that's crap, that's, you know, it's just saying, oh my god, my mom 10 years ago told me I was stupid, or my cousin did this to me, or whatever. You know, your consciousness, your mind is telling you all this shit, so your consciousness is like, you know, we all know this is the usual crap he does to bring yourself down. Imagine your consciousness's view of the world. Can you imagine? It's all like, okay, I can do anything. I can, you know, I can achieve these long-term goals. You know, anything is possible in life. So, in terms of getting something in longer term, it's a lot easier to be patient about that, because you're guaranteed to kind of know. What if the laws of attraction? What if it was your consciousness that was attracting things to you? It was your consciousness saying, because your consciousness is so assured, as the world leave you, and understands that the world, you know, this body is just a vessel or a robot, your mind is just something to throw a lot of shit on you, and your consciousness is more the things that goes and gets the positive things, the things that attract the positive things to you. Can you imagine?
Yeah, because think about it, Michael. You know, you're not Michael. I'm not Nana.
Hmm.
We're just Nana and Michael for a period of time. But once you die, like, who you were before you were born, that's who you are. You know, you just, you're like a representative. Michael is like a representative or not representative.
Of all the life experiences.
Sorry?
Sorry, I've gone, sorry.
No, what I meant was, like, Michael is just like a...
representative, you said?
Yeah, but that's not really the word that I want to use. I don't know how to put it, but it's kind of like a bit like you've just put on a pair of shoes. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
you walk around in them for a while, but then you can take them off. That's not who you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Michael's a representation of the life experiences this vessel has had. Is that what you kind of mean?
Michael is a vessel. Yeah, like, say, Michael is a car. Yeah. You get in the car, you navigate around, but you're not the car. See what I mean?
Mm.
So, if you crash the car, if the car has, you know, is a bit mashed up, if the engine's fucked up, you still, that doesn't make you fucked up. You see what I mean? That just makes the car fucked up. But sometimes we take it upon ourselves that we are now the car, and we're not. We're still the person in the car, which is your consciousness, isn't it?
Mm. Yo, this is I think this is probably one of the more deeper things we've ever spoken about. And I think, like, come to think about it, when you said the thing about friends, that's kind of like, I agree with you. I feel like I had the same thing with, because I'm thinking about some of my friends, and what I really like about them is the awareness. So when their consciousness talks and, like, says stupid things, like, which are kind of, and I just say, oh, they're truthful. No, it's maybe it's their self-awareness of their consciousness. But it really, what hurts me is, like, you're so self-aware of your consciousness is so self-aware of your mind, but you're like, but fuck it. I'm going to jump in that shit again. Like, that is my, like, oh, come on. come on, you're such a beautiful person. Let's step away from that shit. But you're like,
yeah, but you can't judge them for that. No, no, no. You did the same thing. Do you see what I mean?
I'm sure I do. I don't, but I'm just saying that's how I feel. Regardless, it's just how I feel at that moment in time. But it's kind of like you say, they're bright lights with a, you know, shit on top. Yeah, agreed. That is very interesting.
Yeah.
And we ain't even high.
Because judgment is the shit, you know, because you're basing it on your experiences on Earth. Do you see what I mean? Well, your consciousness has no need to judge because it just understands, it accepts. You know, it is what it is. So why really have a negative or kind of positive thought about it? It just is what it is. This is blue, so that's what it is. You know.
Interesting.
Very interesting. You seem like your mind's been blown.
It has been. I'm more interested in. I know, obviously, I'm knowing we have a consciousness, and everyone knows they have a consciousness. Not everyone, maybe most people do, but it's how being aware that consciousness is you rather than your mind being you is very interesting to me right now. And that's the key to success. Or that's, you know, you being... And we're talking about, you being self-aware, you being reflective and blah, 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 and la da la da la da. But you saying, my mind has a tendency to do this to me. And Judge Lynn is doing it throughout her book, her whole book. She's just saying, my mind has a tendency to do this. My mind has a tendency to do that. My mind has a tendency to do this. And just for her to separate those things, and her, it's like a consciousness speaking to you in the book. Her third set of eyes, she calls it.
Yeah, well, isn't that what your third eye is?
I guess. your third set of eyes.
I think the problem is people aren't. They think that their consciousness and their mind work together. Like simultaneously, whereas they don't, they can be separated. People think, like, you know, like I was trying to say to you about busting a nut, like it can be separated, it just happens to come together.
What do you mean, say that again?
Remember when I said to you about when you come as a man, you ejaculate and then you have an orgasm, but because they happen at the same time, people think that they're the same thing, but they're not, they just happen to come together. You can have an orgasm without ejaculating.
Okay.
But most people, those two things happen together, so they just assume that they're supposed to come together, but they don't have to. You can separate the two. And guess how you do it?
Yo.
I said, guess how you do it, Michael?
How do you do... Oh, stop. I don't want to know.
No, it's nothing else with your mind, isn't it? Like, you know, like tantric sex.
Huh?
Tantric sex.
Oh, what's that? Tantric sex.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever done it, but it's all to do with, like, you're in your head more, you know? So, like, you might sit with someone and then you won't touch each other for, like, 15 minutes or something like that. You'll just be sitting and looking into each other's eyes and breathing, and it's supposed to build up all the sexual tension, and then when you finally do it, it's, like, mind-blowing.
But obviously, when you're having sex, you're about to have sex, you get so excited.
Exactly.
Jump on each other.
No.
Is it over already?
Isn't that instant gratification? Yes.
Instant gratification. So true. Human nature. Wow. Yep.
Slow it down. Take it exactly that. Like I was saying, maybe your consciousness knows that I don't have to rush, because I know that when the time comes and I'm going to come, it's going to be amazing. So I'm willing to wait it out. You know, and build up whatever I need to build up to get to that point, rather than saying, yeah, I just want to come, and then rush it. And it's nice, but it's not great. You know, it's not my...
Mm.
Wow.
So yeah,
it's a bit deep for the podcast. I'm joking.
Why'd you say that?
No, I'm like, I'm joking.
That's your mind speaking.
I'm joking. I love this. This is exactly why I wanted to do a podcast, because I don't, like, there is no point in me to talk about, like, I will don't mind talking about, once in a while, talking about popular culture, but, like, that, not so, in the long term, that would have bored me. Yeah, this is way more interesting.
So, how do you think you could, now that you've had this orgasm,
yeah,
what are you going to do in your, like, day-to-day interactions?
First of all, I need to shut my mind down. So if it is saying anything negative, shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to shut the mind down and not listen to it as much. And be, like, name it maybe even. Name it and be aware of it. Saying, that's the first step I'm going to take. Like, oh, my mind has a tendency to do this when I do this, blah, blah, blah. When I don't have any money, my mind tends to tell me, I you know, let me think of an example maybe. My mind tends to tell me when I come back from work that I'm tired and I can't do anything else. I have to just lie down on the bed, get on the iPad, and just play thingy as my relaxation. And then the worst thing about it, that kind of is a detriment to me, because I end up sleeping really late and waking up late and being tired. And I don't like being tired at work. It's just a horrible kind of way to be. You know what I mean? So my mind has a tendency to make me want to basically relax using, you know, something that's beaming bright lights in your eyes, which is not really conducive to a good, nice relaxation.
Bruv, I just had a mental orgasm. What if your mind is like a child?
Like a child.
And your consciousness is like the older version of you.
Older version?
Yeah, or like the adult, you know, and then your mind is
what?
A child. Like the children, they don't understand waiting. They don't understand. They want everything now. You see what I mean? But maybe as you grow up, you're supposed to, like, maybe that comes down to the whole, like, emotional intelligence and stuff. Emotionally, we don't grow. Or our minds don't grow. We get stunted. Remember we were talking about wax?
I'm thinking more like our minds are like a magnet. And or sponge. And they just absorb everything. Like, from a kid to even now, they're still just absorbing and reacting. It's a mind, it just thinks. That's all it does. Absorbs, react. And your consciousness is something that has always been there, and I think it's spiritual. It's infinite. So it's just self-aware. It knows that the mind has a tendency to over-absorb and over-analyze and over-criticize and over, you know, or under-analyze or whatever it does, and your consciousness has an awareness of that. And it's like the wise old man and the little hyperactive ADHD boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the wise old man's like, you know, calm down, blah, blah, blah. And the kid is just running around like, oh my God, I must do something.
That's what Xbox.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, but as you grow up, you have to realize that your mind is a child. So don't listen to it. Listen to the older man who's giving you those words of wisdom. Do you see what I mean?
Yep. Like, who tells you, when something's never been done, who tells you it's, you know, impossible? Like, your mind tells you it's impossible, but your consciousness just tells you it's just never been done, and I want to be the first to do it. And why would it be impossible?
You thought of it, so why couldn't it? For the fact that you thought of it, it's possible.
Yeah.
Because you can't think of something that's impossible. And so, where did the word impossible even come from? Is it not impossible? You know.
Impossible. Yep.
Impossible, so it can be done. There's nothing that can't be done.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're on 54 minutes.
Wicked.
Can you imagine? Wicked. This has been quite revelationary, I would say. Interesting.
Do you know what just randomly came to my head? like your mind, how can I put this? How can you how can you tell the difference between what your mind says and what your consciousness says? Because do you just think that if it's negative, then it's coming from your mind?
No.
I still believe that your mind can say positive stuff.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But it can say positive stuff that's not good for you.
But I think your mind, think of your mind like, your mind is purely reactionary. It's purely reactionary. Like, that's what Judge Ling was saying about emotional, like, in terms of emotional awareness of your mind. Like, it's purely reactionary. If you go down the street and someone swears at you, swear at them back, that's your mind thinking, how fucking dare this guy swear at me? Mm. And if something good happens to you... Oh, go on, sorry, you wanna...
No, I just had this experience yesterday. Like, I'm always in my head. Mm. Like, I'll be walking down the street and I'm just thinking, just unpacking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff in my head. And I must have, I was pushing on the pushchair, and somebody kind of stood to the side to let me through.
Mm.
But because I was daydreaming, I didn't realise. So when I walked past them, the guy goes, "Oh, you're welcome." And I was then it kind of snapped me out of my my unpacking in my head, and I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, but he'd already sort of walked off, you know, and I just thought, I could, like, why did he react like that? Like, I don't know.
Because it's reactionary, innit? You do,
yeah, that's
we do
saying,
things
yeah.
in the heat of the moment. Like, she always, judge. I love this, I know I'm banging on about Judge Ling, but she's saying that these people that come to my court, they're perfectly rational, normal people in basically that reacted in extreme ways in extraordinary situations. So it was mind over consciousness. Where consciousness is like, why am I even, like, punching this kid on the street? Like, but reaction is, your mind is reacting to, your mind is a constant reaction, whether it's bad or good, it's constantly thinking. It doesn't stop thinking sometimes. It's constant reaction, constantly thinking. And then your consciousness is just there. It just exists. It just knows.
Yo, is that what meditation is? To shut up your mind.
Yeah, yes. Mindful meditation, yeah. Mindful
so
meditation.
Because your mind is basically like the little kid running around, making up all the noise, and you need to, like, put it to bed so that you can hear the granddad give you the pearls of wisdom, you know?
And imagine, think about all the goals you have in your life, how easy it is to just be like, okay, shut up, mind. My mind has a tendency to say I can't do things. My mind has a tendency to start screaming and shouting. My mind has a tendency to... No, you're not poison. You're not apologizing, but you're kind of like it is like apologizing, because you're like, oh, man. And then the kid is just running around smashing up the room. You're like, oh, he has a tendency to do that sometimes. I'll just clean up when he's done. Like, kind of like that, yeah. So, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know, bruv, this, I think we have to continue this at some other time, because we couldn't go for 2 hours talking about mind over, you know, consciousness. Crazy.
No, I think it ties in very well with emotional intelligence that I wanted to talk about, so I think we could continue next week.
Okay, ooh, little teaser.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Cool. Do you have a quote of the week then?
I don't, bro.
Oh.
Quote of the week.
I'll give you.
Up and listen to your consciousness.
I'm gonna make up my mind. Myself. When the mind and the consciousness fights, let the consciousness win. So that's stupid shit like that. Anyway, okay. So I really enjoyed this. So yeah. Anyway, okay. So yeah, that's Casa Time signing out. Bye.
Bye. Talk to you next week.
Bye.